What's up, homegirls?
Welcome to Benevolence, where kindness matters and all are welcome to the table. We are your hosts, Ceci
and Nisha. Benevolence is a ministry where we uplift and encourage through topics of conversation that are important in our Christian walk.
We are going to get real. We will focus on topics that we're curious about and what many are afraid to talk about.
We saved the seat just for you. So sit back, relax, and let's get to it.
You are listening to episode 3. Spiritual dysmorphia.
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. God is good. How are you?
Hallelujah.
You're doing good. let's just get started. First, I just want to thank you for joining us on another episode of Benevolence Podcast. Your first time, you left us with an amazing testimony, and so many lives were touched by that. So I wanted to bring you on again because the last time we saw each other, we had just like a little chat about spiritual dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was so random because you were sitting on the chair and then I guess we complimented each other, but we didn't feel the way, like I didn't feel what you were complimenting me on, and then you didn't feel like you didn't reciprocate what I was saying. And then we kind of were like, why do we do that to ourselves? This is so toxic. So, you know, I remember we had that like mini conversation where like, we definitely need to talk about this.
I think it's important for sure.
Yeah. On benevolence, spiritual dysmorphia. So yeah, thanks Jay for coming again.
Thank you. Yes. I'm always grateful. This is a blessing. It's a blessing. We're reaching people.
Yes, absolutely. So Nisha, you want to go ahead and tell us what is, define us like dysmorphia, because there's different types. So we want to talk about the spiritual aspect of it.
Yes. First of all, I'm super excited that we're going to be talking about this today. According to dictionary.com, dysmorphia is a deformity or abnormality in the shape or size of a specified part of the body. Now, body dysmorphia is an anxiety disorder that causes a person to have a distorted view of how they look, and they spend a lot of time worrying about their appearance. In terms of a spiritual context, this conversation is referring to the internal, the spiritual point of view, and the spiritual reflection of what you do shows who you are as a person, what you do and don't do, your attitude, the way you think towards yourself and others, behaviors, how you treat yourself and others, words, thoughts, etc. It's all internal.
And like, to kind of go off of what Nisha was just defining, like I kind of have a little bit of body dysmorphia, if you don't like,
No lie.
I honestly don't see myself the way others people see me physically.
At all. I don't even see myself.
I don't see myself
like you know what I mean, like I deal with that like on a day-to-day basis.
Jay, what is your intake on that, just body dysmorphia?
Well, I feel like it puts like this self-perceived flaw on yourself, like despite it being minor or something that other people can't see. So no matter how much you tell me like I am qualified for this, or I'm adequate for this, or I look like this, I look like that, every part of my mind can tell me a list of flaws that I feel that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true.
I can give you a list right now. But like,
I think, should we?
No.
Okay. Hey, you never know. Though. You never know. It might relate to someone.
My list is too long.
My list is too depressing.
My list
This might get too depressing. So that's kind of, we'll share that another time.
We'll share it another time. We'll talk about our bodies. But honestly, this is a perfect example of the main topic of spiritual dysmorphia, the way we see ourselves in a spiritual way or in our personality. Because like our situation with Jay, like I had with you, like I was complimenting you and you were just like, I don't see it.
Yeah. And how crazy.
Go ahead.
But how crazy is it? It's easy to compliment someone else, but when someone compliments you, it's so hard to accept it. Like, I find it so easy to compliment everybody and encourage everybody. But when it comes to somebody like complimenting me and encouraging me, I like hide in a ball. Like, I don't even know how to accept it. So,
and that's that's exactly what happened. Right, Jay?
Yeah, I get very uncomfortable. Like, I don't know how to receive it. And it's still a process.
Oh my God,
like,
I guess you do get uncomfortable.
Yes.
She was the first person to tell me, you need to stop. Like, she'll tell me you look good. And I'm like, I look horrible today.
And I think that was our conversation. I think I was like, Jay, you look good. And you were like, yikes. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But talking about like the spiritual aspect of it, like, we struggle so, so much. So I wanted to give the floor to you, Jay, about like, what's your perspective of spiritual dysmorphia? And like, what are some things that you struggled with in terms of like seeing yourself the way God sees you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, girl.
I would say, as soon as God placed me, at Calvario to start, in ministry, I always looked around me and started comparing, like, whether it was my faith, my call, everything about myself. So I joined the worship team and I was like, I don't belong here. Like, I know that God placed me here, but like, these people have experience, they have knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
And then like, I guess a very defining moment for me was when I did the panel, talking about, LGBTQ issues, from a spiritual perspective. As soon as they mentioned that I would be doing it with Pastor Nino and Pastora Laura, I was like for a split second, I was like, man, like, these are senior pastors, like one of them is a clinical psychologist. Like, I don't belong here. But then it was like right away, God rerouted my mind. Showing me that it was everything that he had done in my life to mold me to be placed in that position. Cause I'd been qualified differently rather than other people who may have had to, you know, study on an experience like that. I'd been qualified myself, but I guess it took a while for me to start seeing what other people saw in me.
Yeah.
Like, even, I remember the first time I led worship and Nisha was like, your worship's going to break chains. Nisha, it's not like a light switch. Like, I can't switch it off. Like, I'm scared. Like, it wasn't like I was nervous. I was so scared. Yeah, and everybody's like, no, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
I was so terrified. So it's like, I had to learn to, I guess, allow an open mind to how God sees me. Cause many times I can't see the vision. I can't see the full picture. Like, God will say, like, I see you in these places. I see you ministering to these people. And I'm like, you sure? I don't think that's me. But it's been a blessing. Like, every single moment, I think it's a teaching experience. So I've learned over time, I guess, to pull myself away. But it's still something like I can struggle with, like, you know, when I look at people around me, there's still times that I compare myself.
I think it's so true what you just said right now. Like, when you look at people around you, it's like you just feel even more like kind of self-conscious, or like you're not even supposed to be there. So I totally understand where you're going. But for me, the ways I've dealt with spiritual dysmorphia, I actually dealt with it as a child, as a teenager, and as an adult. So I don't know, I think I've discussed this before, but when I was younger, I was actually super shy. Like, I literally could not even talk to people. Like, people would talk to me and I would have my head down. I didn't know how to even conversate with people. Like, I was that shy. So when, the good thing is that I grew up with a great family that was encouraging, that always like believed in me and said like that I was called, but I was so shy that I didn't know how I was going to even be what they even like, what they even said that I could be, you know what I mean? So that was as a child. Then little by little, I started getting out of my comfort zone and I started to sing, and I got into ministry and I dealt with it again. I never fully believed that I was enough. You know, like, I never fully And no matter how many times God used me, no matter how many times God prophesied over my life that he was going to use me in a powerful way, that I had a purpose over my life. At the moment when he would prophesy, I would be like, oh, wow. Yes. Thank you, God, for reminding me. Like, I believe it. And then like a few weeks later, I'm like, no, like I can't do this. You're telling me I can do it, but I can't. Like, I'm not enough. And it wasn't till I started to listen to the way God thinks of me. Like, I truly believe that until you learn to listen like Jesus, you'll continue to listen like you. Mm. Until you learn to listen like Jesus, you'll continue to listen like you. So that's why it's important to silence your own mind to listen like Jesus. Because when you listen like Jesus, you start to believe what God has called you to be. You start to believe that you are called, that you are enough, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And you might not know why God chose you, but he chose you. So I think for me, when I started to listen like Jesus, and when people would compliment me and say, oh, Nisha, wow, like you did great today, or Nisha, like you're called, or Nisha this, I'm like, okay, God, I receive it. I'm gonna start listening like you, even though I don't feel it right now. You said it, so I believe it. So I think that's kind of like how I dealt with spiritual dysmorphia and how I was able to overcome it. And I'm still overcoming it every single day. But I think continuously listening like Jesus, it's gonna make things so much better, and it's gonna change your outlook about yourself. So
yeah, what absolutely. About you, Sess? Mine, like you said it perfectly, because my spiritual dysmorphia, I would say, what started off like teenage, like as a mm-hmm. child, I was a pretty confident child up until I got to high school. And then yeah. high school is such a different season yeah. in life, and it's so terrible. And I struggled with finding like who I was, and I struggled with finding myself as a teenager, because I was hanging like with different crowds, just trying to fit yeah. in. And just being someone that I mm-hmm. wasn't. So that's where the insecurities started. And then I would say that, yes, the insecurities started during that time, but it wasn't the worst time for me. My worst time is now as an adult. Yeah. And I struggle really, really bad, like with mm-hmm. seeing myself the way God sees me. And it's like what mm-hmm. you were saying, like Nisha, like everybody's like coming up and like, oh my God, like this was amazing. That was yeah. amazing. You spoke amazing. Or yeah. oh my God, Benevolence is doing so amazing. I'm like, in my mind, they have no idea how much I struggle, because I yeah. feel like inadequate. I feel like I'm not giving enough or doing enough. And
yeah,
like I'm seeking my approval, like in other people, than like seeking
the approval that's a good God. Way.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the dysfunction is in my insecurities. Like I'm seeking approval, and like it happens in seasons, and it gets really dark. It gets yeah. really dark, because I'm like, I know the prophecies that I've had, that God yeah. has reminded me of the things that he has planned for me. But like, and I remember all the wonderful things that, you know, God has done in my life.
Yeah.
But I still fall into that trap. And that's where the enemy yeah. like takes advantage. Mm-hmm. The enemy, he takes advantage, like in any little nook and cranny that you give him.
If you give him room, yeah.
He is going to come in and he's just going to mess things up again. So I guess like I still struggle with like seeing myself the way that God sees me. And I feel like just recently, I went through like a really crazy season in my life. Like just like the last 6 months has been pretty dark. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to episode 1 if you need more insight.
Yes.
But I will say that I dove into the word like this time, and I never have ever read the Bible the way that mm-hmm. I'm reading it now.
Yeah.
And I'm reading these stories.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, these people are terrible, and God used them.
Yes. Same. Like,
I'm like, yo, these people are so bad. Like, they're so bad. Like, worse yes. than like, and like, you know, I put myself down, but dang, yeah. they do some crazy stuff. And I'm like, God still uses them. And specifically, mm-hmm. like I'm reading First Samuel, First and Second Chronicles, which is pretty much the story of David. And I'm seeing yeah. David in his freaking rollercoaster ride of life.
Uh-huh.
And I'm reading the Psalms that he writes. And it's like, he's like he's mad at God and he's like telling all these things. And then he's like, but I love you and I praise mm-hmm. your wonderful name. Like, he's like emotionally unstable. And then I began to realize, like, oh my God, I'm emotionally unstable as well. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. But God still used David, and he was man after God's own heart. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, like, why am I doing this to myself? Why can't I see myself the way that God sees me? And like, one thing that like comes to my mind is, what is the mirror that you're looking in? Is it the word or is it the world? What is the mirror that you're looking in? Are you seeking like approval virtually by people in your, you know, like, because now everything's virtual. So now everything that you put out there, you know, you're mm-hmm. wanting to seek approval, you know? Mm. And that was something that I dealt with, like seeking mm-hmm. approval, wanting to be loved and accepted by people virtually. And I'm like, yo, like the people I need to be accepted and loved by is my family and friends that are around me, not mm-hmm. the people that are on the other side of the screen, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess something that I've learned, and I constantly remind myself, especially through this season of like diving into the word of God, is like, mm-hmm. what is the mirror that you're looking in? Is it the word of God or is it the world? Yeah, that's my experience pretty much on like, it's constant. It's a constant struggle, but I have to keep reminding myself of what does God say, you know?
Yeah. Jay, for you, you have an amazing testimony, by the way.
Yes.
And I think you discussed it before, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So my question to you is, do you battle with spiritual dysmorphia in a sense when your past comes to mind? Like, you know how sometimes your past can affect you truly walking in the call because you just feel like unqualified more by thinking about your past? Like, do you feel like your past has affected, and how were you able to overcome those thoughts of your past coming back in your mind? I kind of just would love for you to share that, because I feel like people need to hear that.
That's good.
I definitely feel like it does a lot.
mm-hmm.
it's an everyday thing. It can be like this constant battle. Like, the very thing that God used to mold my life and build me up and give me like such a transformative mm-hmm. testimony in other people's lives, like such an impactful one, can also be the very thing that can make me feel so inadequate in many situations. Like, I think that it's a struggle understanding that I have to put so many boundaries. It's a struggle that I still battle with temptation. And sometimes I'm like, am I faithful enough? Do I love God enough? Because if I really love God enough, should I even be tempted? Should I even struggle with this anymore? And I guess that's how socially, you know, how you said, compared to the word or the world, like sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, that insecurity is not built off of what God teaches you, you know, everything, you know. I was looking up Bible verses about like feeling inadequate, and everything came down to God, like measuring yourself mm-hmm. on God's standard, nothing said about the world. So it's just crazy that I think that I have built up years and years of insecurity, whether it's physical or spiritual, when it comes mm-hmm. to my testimony. And God is just saying, like, don't look at yourself through that lens. You're not meant to, you know, judge yourself unrighteously in that way.
Yeah.
I did write something before that I wrote, that spiritual dysmorphia shifts the focus from all the ways God has qualified us to what we believe is strong enough to disqualify us from his plans and promises. Like, we believe that this is so big, like what I'm going through mm-hmm. is so big that it must disqualify me. And God's like, I've already taken that into account. Like, I know, you know, what you perceive as your flaws, and I see all of you, like every thought, everything you've done, and I still have plans for you. So it doesn't, I wouldn't say like my testimony or my experiences limit me. I think I limit myself. I think it's the way I perceive what I've been through or what I go through on a daily basis that I can sit here and place a limitation. So God's like, I'm going to send you, you know, to this place, and you're going to minister to this people. But it's like in my mind when I'm like, oh, no, I don't think I can, because like I still struggle here. So how can I minister to that person? And God's like, that's the point. You know, they're struggling. Mm-hmm. So they need somebody relatable. They need somebody that needs to connect. They don't need somebody perfect. It makes no sense. But it's just crazy how, like you said, when you see yourself through Jesus and how Jesus sees you, everything changes. So that's kind of what my experience has been like.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Something that came to my mind was a quote that says, what would you do if you knew that you could not fail? So what would we do? And what are the things that we could accomplish? And what are the things? Yeah. What are the things that we could accomplish if we would only see ourselves the way that God sees us?
Wow.
Think of like the things that we could possibly do. What would we do if we, like the limits, we would have no limits. We would, we would continue, you know what I mean? The plan and the call that God has for us without limitations. If only we saw each other, like ourselves, if we saw ourselves the way that God sees us. So it's like, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? What would you do if you saw yourself the way that God sees you? Like, does that make sense?
Like
if I could,
it's like hard to answer because like I would do so many things, you know,
so many things. It's
like, oh my gosh, can you guys answer that? Cause
I don't know if they can.
So many, like it's things that I haven't even like even said out loud. You know what I mean?
Even things that I haven't.
Well, I do have a question for all you guys. Cause since we can't answer this question, why do you think, you know how we see God move in our life and we see him work and we see the outcome and all the good that he can do and all the good that he already did. Why do you think that even with seeing all the good that God can do through us, do we limit ourselves? Because we already seen that God can move through us. Mm-hmm. We already seen that God can work through us, that God can use us to reach, you know, people. But yet we still limit ourselves. Yet we still don't believe. Why do you think that?
Jay.
Like we've seen it. So this reminds me. This reminds me. Let me just bring this up.
Go ahead.
I'm reading the story of Moses, right? And you know how God used him to take the Israelites out of Egypt, blah, blah, blah. But yet all the miracles that God did through the Israelites, all the miracles, they still complain. They still were like, ah, but why you took us out of Egypt? Blah, blah, blah. Through all the miracles that God did. And mira, it prevented them from reaching the promised land. And I don't want it to ever get to that point where I've seen God work through my life, that I've seen so many miracles in my life that I don't reach the promise that God has for my life, that I prevent my own self from reaching that promised land. Like, I never want that. So it's been crazy. I feel like God led me to the story of Moses. You know, I've heard it so many times.
Yeah.
But I feel like God led me there again this year. The reason being is that he wants to remind us that he already said it. He already did it. We've seen God move. Ceci, we've seen God move.
Yeah.
Hey, we've seen God move. If he already did it before, he can do it again. We don't need to doubt ourselves. We don't need to not believe in ourselves because he already did it before. So he's going to do it again. So I vow to every day, thank God for what I have, to be ready for what he's going to do. You know, we got to thank God for the little so we can be ready for the more. You know what I mean? So I thought I'd share that because that's honestly been like wrecking me because it's an honest reminder. So, but anyways, can you answer the question? Why do you think we do that? Like, if we've seen it, like we've seen it, we've experienced it. Like, I can't even explain it myself. Like,
I feel like you probably answered a little bit of that earlier. Forgetting to look at it through Jesus, you know, we begin to look within ourselves. True. Obviously, like, if I were sent on a journey on my, like on my own, I'm going to fail. Like if it's me and I'm not receiving guidance from God or having spiritual leaders around me, I'm going to fail.
Yeah.
And I think that there's an importance to surround yourself with great spiritual leaders, having God at the center, having the word as your, you know, the thing that lifts you up. And then another thing I would say, like for me personally, which I talked about on the first episode that I was with you guys, or with Ceci, was that I, like, the title of my episode was Addicted to Broken. I think, like, in seasons that I struggled so much, I didn't know who I was outside of that. So it kind of made me mold my identity to that brokenness, and not realize the potential that I had, or that God had for me, outside of it. I didn't know what it would be like without it. I didn't know if I could truly be impactful without it. So it could be fear, it could be pride, it could be a lot of things, but I think the center of it is just focus on God, focus on the word, surround yourself with people. Like, I think recently, and I love this, biblical account. We were talking in church about how, it was like a war, and Moses, like, he was no longer lifting his arms, but as the people came by him and lifted his arms, he, like, his side was winning. So I guess it just shows the importance of having people around you. Like, when you can no longer be strong, when your faith is so, you know, bent or broken, you can have people around you that are strong enough to remind you, like, this is God's plan for your life. This is what God sees in you, or this is what I see in you. Because even you guys saw a lot within me that I couldn't see within myself. Like, I have a lot of people that are like, you speak well. And I'm like, no, I don't. I can't see.
You do, though.
You do. Yes, you do.
Like, literally the other day I was telling somebody, I'm like, man, like, I lose track of, like, when I speak, like, I'll be like, what was I talking about? So it's like this constant fear of, like,
like, brain farts. I get so many brain farts.
Imagine preaching a sermon and then, like, halfway
and then, like, you're just looking at people. You're not even saying a word. You're
like, I don't even know what I came here for.
I agree. We got to surround ourselves with things that fill us and not break us. So I totally agree. Wow, this episode is just amazing.
It's so good. It's so good. So, like, I liked what Jay was saying in terms of, like, practical steps to help with, like, your spiritual dysmorphia. Like, honestly, first of all, you have to recognize that you have it. You know what I mean? And that you struggle with it. That you, you know, first come be open with yourself and say, yo, I'm struggling. Like, I don't see myself the way that God sees me. Like, if you're self-sabotaging yourself constantly, you're definitely, you know, dealing with spiritual dysmorphia. But I would say, like, what Jay had mentioned, like, some practical steps is definitely surrounding yourself with people who can uplift you, who are there for you, plugging yourself into a church that you can fellowship with and serve. And, you know, just put yourself in a community where people can keep you accountable. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's super, super important in, you know, in not, I wouldn't say fixing, but going through the process of, you know, I would say deliverance, I guess, from, you know, seeing yourself the way God sees you instead of seeing yourself the way the world sees you. So
spiritual dysmorphia, it's a spiritual problem. So you have to feed yourself spiritually. That's what you're lacking in.
That's
so if you're not constantly it's kind of like working out, you know, you build up that strength. But if you continue, like, in your weak state, or you continue, like, falling back, being lazy, you're never going to continue to progress. And that's the thing. Like, we have to look at this as a serious issue that a lot of us, or many of us, maybe all of us, are going through. And we have to work out that part of our spirit.
Amen.
Absolutely. I love it.
I love it.
Yo, this is amazing. I'm uplifted.
This is amazing.
You know, we have to plug in to the word of God. We have to see ourselves.
It's the best thing.
We have to see ourselves through the mirror of the word and not the mirror of the world. Like, because then we're always going to constantly be struggling, you know? And it's so important what Jay said, like, get into the word, you know, like, see, like, from what I said earlier, like, seeing God use, like, people who, like, have done terrible things, like, just that, not that it encourages me, but it kind of just shows that God is, like, I'm called and I'm equipped, you know what I mean? Like, everything that I have right now, like, God is molding me, God is equipping me to complete the plan and the purposes that He has for my life. So if you're out there and you're struggling with spiritual dysmorphia and you're seeing yourself the way the world sees you instead of the way God sees you, you know, first, you're not alone, you know, don't ever think that you're going through that journey alone.
Yes.
Dive into God's word, dive into, you know, a church or a community and surround yourself with people who can uplift you so that you can be better with yourself. And in due time, you know,
listen like Jesus.
Yeah. Listen like Jesus. And I promise you that you'll come out of it. And
amen.
I think you'll be able to testify what God has done in your life. So, Jay, I freaking love you, bro.
Love you,
Jay. I love you guys.
So great. All thank you for me. Being real and honest at the table.
Thank you for having this conversation with us, because it was long overdue. It's been months that we've been wanting to do this.
months and months.
But thank you for just, you know, tapping in and sharing with us your experiences. So I love
you. And we love you and we believe in you.
Yes.
I believe in you guys.
Same, girl. Wow. Believe in you.
That is so good.
We love you guys.
We love you.
So as we finalize this episode of Benevolence, we just want to remind you that you will always have a seat at the table. You are loved, you are chosen, and you have a purpose.
Yes, so thank you all for tuning into Benevolence, where kindness matters and all are welcome to the table.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Benevolence Podcast for more fun posts and videos.
Benevolence Podcast is available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And stay tuned for next Monday's episode of Benevolence. You don't want to miss it.
Bye!